Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our faith and our hope. Amen. It seems that the theme for Jesus' message today is hurry up and wait. Perhaps you're familiar with this phrase. It's often used to describe the practice of needing to be vigilant and diligently prepared for something that's about to happen, but you don't know exactly when it will take place. It's not so much about simply being in the right place at the right time, but it's about being there, yes, and having every single detail of what you need to get done already accomplished and put into place so that when it comes time for the thing to happen, it can go off without a hitch. In fact, this actually describes most of my day-to-day rhythm in my work as a chaplain with Access Community Health Network. Most of my job is spent standing in the hallways looking expectant, waiting for a window of opportunity so that when there's a moment that the patient is not seeing the provider or the lab tech or the care coordinator or the case manager, I can get in and have 5 to 10 minutes to do spiritual care with that patient. It's a lot of hurrying up, it's a lot of urgency, and it's a lot of simply waiting for the opportune moment. But in some cases, that moment doesn't arrive. And so I'm there, standing, waiting in the hallway, and then realize, oh, I've run out of options here. I need to go back and get ready for the next patient. It's hard not to get a sense of urgency from the ways that Jesus talks in today's gospel reading as he describes the kingdom of God. Reading through this passage of Luke and listening to language such as be dressed for action, have your lamps lit, open the door as soon as it is knocked, be ready even in the middle of the night or if it's close to dawn in the wee hours of the morning, it's tough not to get a sense of expeditious urgency from Jesus in this passage. And while I was preparing this sermon, I have to admit that I had a song from Lion King running repeatedly in my head, the words of Scar singing, "Be prepared." The imagery, I think, of Jesus asking the disciples to be prepared is markedly different than Scar singing to an army of gathered hyenas, but that's besides the point, and I digress. Yes, preparedness and urgency is the theme today, yet it also seems to be a type of preparedness that's next to impossible. To be prepared for something to happen at any hour of the day, fully prepared at midnight or even dawn, every day of every week of every month of every year, well, that to me sounds like just really bad work-life balance and an impossible task. In broader terms, Jesus speaks and teaches in this passage about the kingdom of God, the concept of reality according to God's intent. Jesus starts with a word of comfort to those listening, saying, "Do not be afraid, little flock," and assures them that the gift of the kingdom is truly a gift that God gives lovingly and freely. It is pleasing to God to give the kingdom to God's children. He then gives some instructions for almsgiving, or giving to those who need it, making distinctions that it's not just a one-time thing, it's not just about the exchange of possessions and material wealth, but in heavenly matters. To sew a purse for yourself that will never wear out, it cannot be cut by a thief, it cannot be eaten by moths. This treasure is a heavenly treasure, a treasure of the heart as well. And then Jesus explains the need for preparedness. He gives instruction through a set of parables, one of a group of servants awaiting the arrival of their master, and one of a homeowner being able to avoid thievery had he only known what hour the thief would arrive. It's a short passage, but maybe you can tell that there's a lot of themes happening here. Jesus covers a lot of ground in his attempts to explain what it is that the kingdom of God is like. And in this context of the kingdom, the fact that Jesus speaks of such urgent preparation almost becomes a paradox in itself. Being constantly prepared for the arrival of a new kingdom, a new way of being, a completely reshaped and reordered existence is a remarkably tall order for the disciples. And that's why the urgency that Jesus instructs the followers to adopt is not, I don't think, about preparing for some singular event, like a window of opportunity where I can see a patient in a clinic. It's not just about waiting around until God knocks on our proverbial door and says, "Okay, now, everybody go, it's showtime." Rather, I think it's about being aware of and participating in the unraveling and reconstruction of the very fabric of the reality we exist in, such that the aforementioned urgent preparation is a foregone conclusion. But I think I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself right now, and you would be right to ask, wait, where did all of this talk of unraveling and reshaping and fabric of reality come from? Because that's not in the gospel reading, Pastor Tom. And you're right, so yes, good to be aware of that. So some context. Admittedly, all of that language came 11 chapters prior in the Gospel of Luke. Specifically the 46th through the 55th verses of the first chapter. The famous passage known as the Magnificat, or Mary's Song, that we sing every Advent season preparing for Jesus' arrival at Christmas. I think this song of Jesus' mother is the lens through which all of Jesus' actions and lessons in Luke's gospel must be examined through. Because Mary knew from the very outset what her son, God made flesh in human form, would accomplish. As she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." And notice that Mary does not sing of these things as though they are yet to happen. She sings about them with the certainty that they already took place, even though Jesus has not yet been born. She is so certain of what Jesus will accomplish that she sings about them like they already are factual history. This song of praise, this song of foreshadowing, I think is gorgeous and an incredible statement of faith from the mother of Jesus. And yet it is not, I think, the most comforting of passages. Much in the same way that Jesus teaching us to be prepared for the kingdom is not the most comforting thing, because at the center of it all is the upheaval of every system that governs the world. And while talking of upheaval and unraveling often gets treated as a fun thought experiment or exercise in abstract thinking, in practice it is unsettling, it is tumultuous, even chaotic. The kingdom of God that Jesus preaches about, that Jesus urges us to be prepared for, is an entirely new and different way of existing. It's a new reality where the old systems of power and privilege, charity and governance are done away with so that a new reality of equity, love, respect, and communal prosperity might take its place. But as we are seeing in this modern era, the complete upheaval of the way things are does not simply happen overnight. There's no way to be prepared for this new order that God is creating. So how then are we supposed to be urgently prepared even into the early hours of the morning? Well, the Lutheran answer is to recognize that this reality is already here and it is still on the way. The preparedness that Jesus speaks of is a preparedness that shifts the ways in which we as disciples show up and interact with the world we live in. I mentioned earlier that this preparedness for the kingdom would be a foregone conclusion. And what I mean by that is when we are so aligned with the way God loves the world, when we are aligned with this kingdom that God has promised and is glad to gift to us, we show up in such a way that the kingdom is brought even closer by our emulation of Christ's actions. The kingdom is fully realized through us when we act out the reality of God's love. The paradox, then, is that there is no singular moment when we can point to it and say, yes, the kingdom has fully arrived. We won't know with certainty, I don't think, that the fullness of kingdom is here among us. And so the best way to be prepared is to live as though it already were. By loving those around us, meeting their needs, comforting the grieving, healing the sick, visiting the lonely, and yes, even tearing the powerful off of their thrones, as Mary sang about with such certainty in the Magnificat. When we live as though the kingdom was our reality, it is brought ever closer to this reality. What better time than the one we currently live in, then, to bring about this kingdom? There's no shortage of upheaval already in this world as we struggle to discover together what the next era of this life will look like. And though it seems that every single week there is yet another once-in-a-century era-defining moment, I wonder if we might consider them pangs of a new reality being birthed into this world. It's easy to consider everything, to look at the headlines, to consider the world, and give up in dismay and hopelessness because it seems insurmountable. And yet, as Paul reminded us in today's reading from the letter of the Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. So let us prepare, yes, let us live in such a way as though God's kingdom of equity and radical love were already here, so that it might more fully be known in us, through us, and all around us. Amen.